Ryan plummeted into the river feet first, absorbing most of the shock through his boot heels. The water was freezing. His left shoulder was on fire. Before he'd managed the leap from the drop-off, a bullet had found him. He didn't know how bad the wound was, but the pain was enough to cause him problems with the arm. His gear and the stire slung over his back worked to drag him under. By the time his downward momentum was spent, his lungs felt like bursting, burning with the need for oxygen. He looked up, but he couldn't see through the dirty water enough to know where the surface was. Ryan made his left arm work, stroking upward. He knew he wasn't going to come up anywhere near the boat. The current seemed intent on dragging him 5 or 6 feet forward for every foot he pulled himself up. Or was he pulling himself down? Black spots floated in his vision. Ryan wheeled desperately, trying to get his bearings. He spotted the boat's masts. They were staying put, and he was moving away from them, fast. JB watched the Cold Hearts pour down the rope ladders after the companions.
Keep Morse and the boys covered, Millie. Morse, you are not staying below decks. Get out there and get the boat moving.
If I move out there, I'm gonna get shot.
You stay where you are. I'll shoot you myself. Now get your ass in gear.
God damn it! Bud, Sandy, let's get ready to get out of here.
Morse stayed low as he started unfurling the sails. Dean stayed with Christy, but he kept his gun leveled on Elmore.
JB, you have to find Ryan.
I'm going to.
JB slipped free one of the machetes mounted on the boat's railing, then ran to the mooring rope, holding the prow to the pier. Mildred kept the ZKR loose, watching as JB slashed through the mooring ropes, prow and stern, and through the rope holding the anchor as well.
Whoa!
Shit!
The boat was swept out into the river's current at once, almost listing sideways, stopping just short of capsizing as the rushing water took it into its embrace. Hanging onto the railing, Mildred watched as the river water surged up, slopping over the side. Her feet were drenched, turning cold at once. She no longer had to cover the Morse family. They were all locked into survival together. She strained to see across the river as the next current caught them and boosted them up.
Do you see him?
No, damn it! I can't see much of anything!
Bastard river's taking him downstream.
The sails filled overhead. The boat surged. Doc's eyes scanned the raging river while he held Christy tight to his side.
There! I see him!
Looking farther downriver, Mildred spotted Ryan. The one-eyed man disappeared under the water for a moment, then came bobbing back up.
Morse! Get us over there!
This current ain't making this boat any too easy to handle!
Somehow, Morse managed to get Junie close enough.
Ryan, grab hold!
JB threw out one of the sheared remains of a mooring rope. Ryan nearly lost sight of it in the churning waters, but grabbed it before he was swept away. He somehow found the strength to hang on as they hauled him up. Blankets were secured from below decks and draped across Ryan's shoulders. The boat was well into the current, running for all she was worth. Crossing the deck to where Ryan lay, Mildred dropped to her knees. She looked at his injured shoulder, at the blood spreading across the shirt material. She unbuttoned the shirt and pulled it back.
The round that hit you poured through the outer deltoid muscle of your left shoulder. Painful, I'm sure, but more messy than damaging. You got lucky.
Lucky? You shot up my new shirt.
Ryan tried to sit up, managing it with help from Mildred and Dean.
Dean, go grab a self-heat soup.
I'm on it.
You make sure you eat all that soup. Get your temperature back up before you get the chills or end up getting sick. I've got to pack that wound, get the bleeding stopped.
Mildred took gauze from the first aid supplies and plugged the entry and exit wounds on the one-eyed man's shoulder. Ryan didn't say a word during the whole procedure. Mildred took one of the few ampules they'd found in a recent visit to a redoubt and injected him.
After exposure to that water, I'm going to pump you full of vitamin B. You might run a slight fever with this, but you'll be okay. But I do have some bad news.
What's that?
I can't save your new shirt.
Hours passed. Ryan sat beside Christy, nursing a second self-heat of chicken noodle soup as he watched her sleep. He'd slept some himself, but only for a few minutes here and there. The rest of the time he talked with Christy and the other companions, assessing their situation. After his rescue, Ryan had instructed Morse to turn upriver again. The Cold Hearts were no longer a threat, and the companions passed the fort without incident. The river had calmed as they'd sailed, but with the sun hanging so low in the sky and the coastline so uncertain, there was no choice about dropping anchor for the night. Too much debris washing down from upriver created hazards. Morse had already had his boys working to patch the leaks from the bullet rounds that had cored through the decks. The boat had taken on a foot and a half of water before they'd been able to get most of them stopped. The boys, spelled by Jack, Dean, Doc, and JB, had worked a hand bilge pump to clear the water. Ryan had even taken a couple turns himself, not wanting his wounded arm to stiffen too much. Christy's red-rimmed eyes fluttered and opened.
Hey, lover.
Hey.
You got any of that soup left?
Yeah. Right here. I'll help you up.
Thanks. Oh, I feel useless. Can you feed me too, lover? I'm really weak.
No problem. Have a spoonful. I talked to Elmore earlier. We're maybe 4 days out from where Donovan's supposed to be up in the mountains around the Heimdall Foundation.
Long time. And a long way.
We'll see this through just the same.
I wish I believed that as much as you do, lover. But I hear that bitch's voice in the back of my mind just eating at me. It could be that by the time we get there, there won't be much of me left.
If you have a hard time believing in that, then you just believe in me. I ain't never let you down before.
Haven't, lover. You haven't ever let me down.
Right. Haven't. And I ain't about to start now.
The 4 days passed hard for Ryan, and being forced to stay aboard the boat for the duration was intolerable. He was a man used to making his own way. The wounded shoulder healed well, with only a slight case of infection. The other companions also struggled with the claustrophobic feelings inspired by life on the boat. JB was the only one who handled the time without strain, but that was because the armorer had room to spread out all the companions' weapons and give them a proper cleaning. Morse and his sons had grown increasingly belligerent about manning Junie. Morse himself had a lump on his jaw, behind his ear, where Jack had pistol-whipped him with the .357 Magnum when the man had tried to jump Dean. To Dean's credit, he'd resisted killing the man outright. The deeper they got into what had once been the state of Montana before the new cost, the more hopeful Elmore had become. Evidently, the man believed the Heimdall Foundation was going to get him out of his present predicament one way or another. Ryan knew that wasn't going to happen until after he'd gotten help for Christy. His lover had remained asleep most of the trip, plagued by the sickness that wrenched her guts and by the dead woman feeding her twisted dreams. She told Ryan about some of them during the time she'd been awake, and even he'd been sickened. There'd been no love play, even though Ryan had tried to instigate it to bring her relief. The woman's threats to kill whatever seed quickened in Christy's belly and frightened her too much. On the evening of the fourth day, they found Michael Donovan, the Heimdall Foundation man they'd come deep into Montana in search of. Trouble was, others had found him first. The river here was becalmed and placid. JB had found some old maps aboard the boat that listed the river in Montana as the Jefferson River. At least, that was the location the armorer's mini-sextant indicated. Donovan's boat was nearly twice the size of Junie, strung with rigging that looked as delicate as a spider web. She looked as though she'd cut through the water like a knife blade through butter once her sails were gathering the wind. But not now. Now the big boat was listing in the wind, the few sails she had up catching the breeze the wrong way. Around her were seven smaller craft that Ryan could see through his binocs. Four of them were small motor craft, and three of them looked like water bikes.
Yeah, that's Donovan's boat, all right.
So who are the others?
River pirates. Get them through here alive.
I'm not making out any men on Donovan's boat. Why doesn't Donovan have a bigger crew if he knows these cold arts are going to be out here?
Probably does have a bigger crew back at the main campsite. He likes to do his own exploring.
That's gotta be out of his mind to go anywhere alone. He's got an army to go with him. If we don't step in, Donovan's going to have the life expectancy of a mosquito stuck to flypaper. And we need him, for Christie's sake. Morse, get us in there.
The boat's spinnaker unfurled when Morse released it. The material belled out into the breeze, swelling to its full size in seconds. The boat surged forward, cutting deep into the flat plains of the river. Ryan commanded the others into position, taking the prow himself. He pulled the stire to his shoulder, favoring his wounded arm.
They see us now. They're gonna try us.
Three of the motorcraft peeled away from the savaged sailboat and raced for Junie. Ryan plucked the man working the tiller on the powerboat from his seat. The powerboats were small fishing boats with rear-mounted motors. Donovan's vessel looked to be taking on water, listing roughly to its left, unable to break away now that the attention of the river pirates had been diverted. The powerboat with the dead driver went out of control, pulling around in a hard circle. The men aboard the boat scrambled, against one another as they tried to get control of the outboard. Ryan's shots hit the engine. The flames from the ruptured gas tank spread over the passengers as well as the boat and threw black smoke into the air. Before Ryan had a chance to aim at another of the pirate boats, they were past him. He stepped from the prow to the starboard railing, bringing the rifle to his shoulder again. JB accounted for one of the racing water bikes by shooting the gas tank with a flechette round from the M4000. The two motorboats came around for another pass. Ryan laid down heavy fire on the lead boat. His bullets holed the metal hull of the canted prow, then smashed on into two of the men beyond. The boat broke off the attack and sped past them. Dean managed to get one more of the water bikes with his Browning high power.
Woohoo! Bullseye!
Reload your weapons. Chances are we haven't seen the last of them. Position yourselves around the boat. Now that we've made ourselves known, we're as good as prey too. Morse!
What?
Bring us alongside that other craft.
Morse steered Juni closer to the foundering ship. Ryan studied the bigger sailboat. She listed more deeply in the water now, making no headway at all, even with the tug of her sails. Juni pulled alongside the other craft, staying out a good 30 feet. Stern heavy now, the bigger boat's prow lifted well above the normal waterline. Her name was painted on the port side in green letters against the faded blue hull. Calypso. Ryan lowered his stire, but kept it in both hands.
Ahoy the boat!
What the hell do you want?
I'm looking for a man named Donovan!
And if you found him?
Elmore, let them know who you are.
Donovan! It's Elmore! You remember me?
We don't mean any harm, unless it's offered to us first.
River pirates already cleaned us out of everything worth having.
Ryan saw him now, a medium-built man with a shock of black hair dropping to his shoulders. A white streak of hair matted one temple in a jagged line. He was burned nut brown by the constant exposure to the sun and the elements, and went bare-chested, wearing only shorts and lace-up boots. He held a Marlin 22 caliber rifle easily in one hand.
I'm not here for anything except Donovan.
Why do you want him?
Information.
About what?
I want to talk to him about the Chosen.
What about him?
Had some trouble with him. Still do. Figure maybe Donovan can help.
We find ourselves in a bad way. We aren't too keen on making it any worse.
You're aboard a boat that isn't going to make it to shore, and those river pirates may return at any minute to finish the job they started. Maybe you can abandon ship and swim to shore, but you're still going to be vulnerable when you do it. I suggest you lower that rifle and step to the railing. Now.
All right. Don't shoot. I'm coming out.
You're Donovan?
I am.
Get your people off that boat and we'll take you aboard.
Boat salvageable.
Not by me.
Save me, save my boat. Like you pointed out, I've got the option of swimming to shore.
There's some deadly mutant fish in this river. You go in, there's a chance you won't be coming back out.
You got any bilge pumps aboard that boat?
Two. Both of them gasoline powered. Neither one of them working right now. Pirates saw to that when they scuttled the boat after taking our cargo. They'd have opened bigger holes in her if we'd let them. But after we saw they meant to chill us anyway, we fought back. If we tried to fight back any earlier, we couldn't have done it.
Why?
Mister, there were a lot of pirates here. And they aren't going to take too kindly to you people chilling the ones you did or destroying their transport. Salvaging one of those pre-dark watercraft is hard. Even up here, where water activities seem to be pretty big.
If there are so many pirates, maybe it'd make better sense if you got off that goddamn boat and came aboard.
No way. This boat's my life. I've spent more time aboard her these past 10 years than anywhere else in my life. Leaving her is not an option.
Ryan tried staring him down across the expanse of dirty water. Donovan showed no signs of giving in.
Fire blast. Morse, get us alongside so we can tie on.
Shit, that boat will drag us under with it. She's near twice as big as mine.
I didn't say you had a choice. Get it done now.
Once Ryan's commitment to help the stricken ship became definite, the crew aboard Calypso galvanized into action. Ropes from both boats were used to tie the bigger ship behind the smaller one. Jack and Dean helped the Morse boys bring up the hand-crank bilge pump from below decks and transferred it to the Heimdall Foundation craft. Within 20 minutes, they were ready to attempt to move the boat. The borrowed bilge pump didn't equal the amount of water flooding Calypso below decks, but at least it managed to slow the water it was taking on. Morse looked at the lines lashing them to the other boat.
Judy's gonna handle like a fucking fat-assed mud turtle trying to haul that bastard boat.
God damn you, Morse. Get it done.
I am.
Morse surveyed the ropes himself, then had the Calypso's crew trim their sails the way he wanted.
You better hope those pirates don't come rushing back with reinforcements. Even without that boat tied to us, we couldn't outrun him.
Ryan knew that, and he hoped it as strongly as he dared. Soon, Morse's sons, working with sailors from the Heimdall Foundation boat, pulled on the lines and sent sailcloth spinning up Junie's masts. Ryan stood in the prow, clear of Calypso so he'd have a view downriver. Donovan stood beside him, a couple inches shorter and moving with a seaman's gait as Junie's deck bowed and shivered in protest of the load she was taking on. Donovan had pulled on a sleeveless light blue shirt decorated with scarlet and green parrots, but Ryan suspected it was more for the shirt's ability to hold his pipe and tobacco than for any creature comfort. The Heimdall Foundation man looked as if he could weather any elements. Scars crisscrossed his body, mute testimony to the rigorous trials he'd been subjected to. Slowly, inexorably, Junie stole Calypso from a watery grave. They traveled with the river, but headed for the eastern bank. Even with the river level up, Donovan gave Morse directions to steer clear of certain areas because of underwater wreckage.
You got a good sense of the layout of this river?
Yeah. When it lowers after the rainy season, you get a better chance of seeing most of the wreckage. But if you haven't explored this river thoroughly, there's plenty you won't know about until you've ripped the underside of your boat out. Ask me how I know. This isn't the first time I've had to put Calypso back together.
Ryan kept his eye on the men in Calypso's crow's nest. So far, neither of them had spotted the returning pirates. With full dark coming less than an hour away, the pirates may have decided to hole up for the night on familiar terrain. Come first light, Ryan figured they'd be hunted again.
We've got a campsite farther up that tributary.
What's a campsite for?
Just a base camp. You don't even need to take us there. Just put us ashore farther up the stream, and we'll see our own way clear.
It isn't gonna happen like that.
Ryan told Donovan about Christy and their encounter with the Chosen. Then he took him to see Christy, who still slept below decks.